For today's message, we're commanded. We're commanded. We're commanded. Not a suggestion. Not if you feel like it. Had nothing to do with you. The person giving the command is giving the command. When the word comes out, Shema, we take it in and we do it. When the word comes in, Shema, we take it in and we do it. That's the God we serve. And that's what we are. We're nothing less than those people that listen to what it says and attempt to do it. We may not do the best job. We may not have the whatever. All the excuses. We can just be full of excuses. About 4 weeks ago, I shared the scripture. The people walking in darkness will see a great light. Upon those dwelling in the land of the shadow of death, light will shine. You know, that's actually in Isaiah chapter 9, of all chapters, for that to be in, right? Well, let me keep reading a little bit of chapter 9. What is this talking about? You will multiply the nation. You will increase the joy. They will rejoice before you like the joy in the harvest. Do you know that that moon out there is called the harvest moon? Did you know that the moon out there is called the harvest moon? It's declaring there's a harvest. We're in the time of the harvest and gathering. That's what Sukkot is. The time of harvest, the time of gathering. They will revel when they divide the spoil. A lot of authors' word to us. For you will break the burdensome yoke and the rod on his shoulder, the war club of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every stomping boot quaking and clog rolled in blood will be for burning. You hear that? You hear that? It's Isaiah chapter 9. What's that about? Fuel for the fire. Verse 5 of Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born. Oh. Yeah. A son will be given to us. To the child is a son. And the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And I can get Paul Wilbur's voice, I wish if I had it. And of the increase of his government, there will be no end. There will be no end. There will be no end throughout all the earth. And of the increase of his government and shalom, there will be no end. On the throne of David and power his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it through justice and righteousness from now until forevermore. The zeal, the fire, the zeal of Adonai Tzvaot will accomplish this. Isaiah 9, 1 through 5. Do you smell Sukkot in here? In Luke it says, therefore, the Holy One being born will be called Ben Elohim. A child being born is going to be called the Son of God. A Savior is born to you today in the city of David, who's Messiah, the Lord. You are to keep the Feast of Sukkot for 7 days. After gathering in the produce from your threshing floor and wine press. Verse 14, Deuteronomy 16. So you will rejoice in your feast. The English is too benign here. Okay? Since I'm reading it, it's like this. You will rejoice. in your feast. You, your son and daughter, your slave and your maid, that includes the cat, the dog, the car, whatever. The Levite, the outsider, the Gentiles, the orphan and the widow within your gates. 7 days you will feast. Like food, like stuff. We will feast to Adonai your God in the place he chooses. Because Adonai your God will bless you in all your produce and all the work of your hands. Since we're not farmers, then in all the work of my hands. And you will be completely filled with joy. I like to say, you can't help it. 3 times a year, all your males are to appear before Adonai your God in the place he chooses. At the Feast of Matzot, the Feast of Shavuot, and the Feast of Sukkot. No one should appear before Adonai empty-handed. The gift of each man's hand, according to the blessing of Adonai your God that he has given you. 3 times a year shall all you males, that the shall there in the English tries to convey that it's a command. That's one of those times today, by the way. And the reason we're here to rejoice before Adonai is because Adonai your God will bless you. It doesn't say maybe he'll bless you. It doesn't say anything. It has no anything. He will bless you. Adonai your God will bless you. Doesn't have a clause, an if statement. It just says he will bless you in all the work of your hands so that you will be completely filled with joy. Evidently, there's some empty tanks around here. I'm not going to mess with you, okay? I'm just going to tell you how it is. We've been used to of the enemy. We've been used to the society. We've been used to everything. Can you find something to rejoice about? So instead of worrying about how much it's going to cost me a starting poor service to have the car fixed, we're rejoicing that he kept us from harm. And he used him at least to tell us to go there. So I was already headed there. Just when I got there, I said, can you smell any gas? They went around and said, oh, yes, we do. So the guy got under the car and said, you got rotten hoses in your gas tank. Well, can we drive it in my... What I can advise you legally and as a professional is don't drive it. But if it were me, I would go ahead and get yourself home and bring it back and leave it. It's exactly what we did. We got ourselves home, turned around, went back home, got another car, and came back and left it. It's in their hands. Maryland's been rejoicing ever since because raw fuel near the exhaust of the car is not good. Now, let me make it 100% positively clear so there's no confusion. The scriptures I just read make it perfectly clear that we were commanded to rejoice. The scriptures I just read make it perfectly clear. Read them again. Read them for yourself. In Deuteronomy 16 and the rest of the scriptures dealing with Sukkot, that we are commanded to have joy. I don't know about some of you look like you just can't even get up. You can't get out of the shell that you're in. And I understand it. Look, it's not been easy. It's not been easy. I know, but even the clam is going to have a good time. What? What do you mean, commanded to rejoice? Why would we need a commandment to rejoice. Why do we need a whole, the largest of the festivals, and the theme is to rejoice before the Lord? Why do we need that? I thought that we were the generation that having fun was second nature to us. Huh? Having fun, rejoicing, should be easy for us. We say so. The generation says so. But perhaps the times and circumstances make it difficult to do so, and that's true. This is the state of affairs in our country. There's no joy in our country. You turn on the TV, it's not but an overabundance of bad news. All the emails I get are bad news. It's bad news everywhere. You ask anybody here how things are going. They're honest to you and say it's not going good. We fool around and we think we, okay, that. But we live in demanding times, don't we? I'm 75. This is the most demanding times I've ever lived on. Much more than the Vietnam War. Much more than the 80s. Much more than the 90s. Much more than the early 2000s. Much more than the 20-teens. Much more than 2020. 4 years later, it's not gotten any better. It's still just as hard and as demanding as it ever was. What do you mean, rejoice? What kind of a big idea is that? Don't you see the situation? But the music man has music. Here we are, by your strength withstand, mighty King, we've come to sing. Let me sing that again. Here we are, by your strength withstand, mighty King, we've come to sing. And from the other day, the people that who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They who dwell in the shadow of death, to them hath that light shine. Arise and shine, for your light has come. So a son has been born, the light of the world. He's come. Arise and shine, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Arise and shine. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you and me. These two songs have been being sung in the last month, in the services. I can tell you exactly when they were. Do you suppose the Ruach Elohim is trying to say something? You see, this Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, the feast of indwelling. Indwelling where? In the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, in whatever place he says. This is the season of our joy. That's what we dance. Sman Simchatenu. This is the season of our joy. And is referred scripturally as just one name. The feast. When the Bible says the feast, you can say, you can pick, well, is it the one in the spring? Is it one in the May? When is it? Is it Yom Teruah? No, Sukkot is the feast. So everybody makes a big deal about Yom Teruah. And everybody makes a big deal about Yom Kippur. How many people are making a big deal about Sukkot? How many Messianic congregations are having a service today? I know that. Look, there's reasons. I understand all of that. I'm not here to put down. I'm here to declare what it is. What it is, even the Messianic movement has trouble keeping the festival and the high holy days. Especially this one. You know, it won't be any trouble when he comes. Oh, will it be? I mean, if you don't rehearse it, will it be any trouble when he comes back? Oh, you're just waiting for him to come back. That is it. What the kind of attitude is that? When Jesus comes, he'll fix it. What kind of attitude is that? Waiting for Jesus to come so he can fix things. Well, we need to rewrite the Bible. He's going to come back as a carpenter. Yeah, he's going to obey the thing that says, I need this fix, and I need that fix, and I need that fix. Come on now. Or is he coming back as a king? Is that what the Bible says? Are we going to rejoice when the king comes back? What if he's coming back tomorrow? Oh, come on, Rabbi, don't do the church thing. You know he's not coming back tomorrow. Yeah, I understand. The temple's not built, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to have a rehearsal, and we better start. This is the first day. You got 7 more days of this. If the Lord just wakes you up and with my voice yelling at you, rejoice! It'd be good. In Leviticus 23:34, Yah Adonai commanded Moses to observe Sukkot, which is also called the Feast of Harvest. So the moon is saying harvest, harvest, harvest. It's a big one yesterday, last night. And it stays full even through tonight. Well, it's actually the fullness. 99% last night, 100% tonight. Starting on the 15th day of the 7th month, which is today. Today is the 15th. In the Hebrew holy year, forever. Forever. Forever, forever, forever. This feast is also known in the Bible as the Feast of Joy. The Feast of Ingathering. Right? The Feast of Harvest is also known as the Feast of Joy. In Hebrew, the word is Simcha. It's part of our name. Simcha. We share the name with this festival. Yeah, it's quiet around here. We're sharing the name with the festival. Our name of our congregation is Sound or Voice of Simcha. Well, I need to go to the book of Hebrews and read about faith. I got faith that we're going to get it one day. I got faith that we're going to be the Simcha people. That we're going to take seriously what it calls for. The word is so powerful that there is a festival named Simcha. Hag Simcha. What? We share the name. So the next time you come here in your normal grouchy self, speaking to me, stop and think about the fact that we're coming to Simcha. We're coming to joy. We're coming to the Feast of Joy. We're coming to be with the Lord. Simcha. You know, if you don't have the right garment, Yeshua said, get them out. They don't belong in the wedding. Oh, I can sing a song now because I always have songs. Put on the garment of praise. Put on the garment of praise and joy and thanksgiving. By the way, Stephanie's country has it right. Thanksgiving was this month. Is it? Why? Well, when did you think that the pilgrims, etc., did this festival? It wasn't in fact, it didn't start out in November, it started out in October. But an act of Congress moved it to the fourth week in November and separated it from Sukkot, which was what they were celebrating in the first place. I need to applaud the Canadians. Well, we always, Stephanie, good job. The right Thanksgiving has to do with Sukkot because it's a festival of Thanksgiving. It's a festival of Thanksgiving. I'll get my words right in a minute. Then I'm going to go eat all the food you got. The birth of Yah's greatest man and man's greatest God, Elohim in Hebrew, is Yeshua the Messiah. Yeshua the Messiah is man's greatest God and God's greatest man. Yeshua is. It is the pivotal event in all of history. His birth story is replete. That's a fancy word for it. It's full of. Is replete with expressions of joy. So the angels sang, "The Lord is born." What did they sing? "Joy to the world, the Lord is born." They sang joy. The angels sang joy to the world. The world did not even receive the joy. And is still doing this to it. Just a few. The proud. The Marines. The Kol Simcha unit of Marines. Unit E of the Elijah generation right here. When the word of God tabernacled among us. Is that in the Bible? Yes, John 1:14. And the word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Just John 1:14. Tabernacled? Wow. Could it use a different word? So we wrote dwell in the King James Version. He sukkahed among us, right? When Elohim became man, the God's greatest man. If you want to read more of this, I'm quoting myself. In the October 3, 2020 message called The Joy in the Harvest. This event, this festival, is not just joy. Is unspeakable joy. Maybe that's what's going on here. We're announcing joy, and there's a bunch of you that have unspeakable joy, and you're expressing it. Just trying to give into the message here. You know, the death shall speak, but until you get the spirit to let you speak, you're just going to be deaf. I want to say a couple more things about Sukkot. I'm going to keep it short. Yes, you are. Sukkot in Scripture was these five things. Six things. Even seven, right? Actually, I can go on for a while, but I stopped at six. The number of men. Sukkot is a feast that the Messiah revealed himself. That's in John 7. No. If you'll drink of me, you'll have Mayim Chaim, living water. Rivers of living water. So there's my name. Rivers. Rios. That's me. That's Arroyo's there. Right brook. And then rios, rios of living water. John 7, read it. Second thing. Sukkot is when the dwelling, the sukkah of God, is among men. He shall tabernacle among them. Revelation 21, as well as John 1:14. Revelation 21, when the sukkah of God is going to dwell with man. Number three is the feast of dedication of the first temple and the Shekhinah, and the second temple and the Shekhinah. Imagine that. They were all destroyed on the same day. Huh? Tisha B'Av. But they were both erected and dedicated on the same festival, Sukkot. Interesting. It is, number four, the first festival observed by Israel upon returning from the Babylonian captivity. That's in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 14. The first festival, the first thing that they, when they returned from captivity, was to celebrate Sukkot. They finished the temple and celebrated Sukkot. It was the time of the restoration of the second temple. You can read about that in Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, and Zechariah. Well, if Sukkot was the restoration of the second temple, when is going to be the restoration of the third temple? Well, maybe you don't believe the third temple is coming. Well, I don't know. I really don't know prophecy. All I can say is what I see and declare what's there, but I cannot give you any certainty because I'm as blind as a bat. But when he comes, I shall see face to face and I'll have it straight. Since Yeshua died in Passover, when is it understood? How old was he when he died on the cross? Okay. Hey, Siri. How old was Jesus when he died on the cross?
Okay. I found this on the web for how old was Jesus when he died on the cross. Check it out.
First article. This places him at 33 years old when he died. Well, if that's the case, he was born in... He had a birthday present from his dad, right? The cross. He took it away. Unbelievable. 33 and a half. Oh, if that was 33 and a half, then when is his birthday? 6 months forward or 6 months backward? When he died, it was the 14th of Nisan. 6 months forward makes it today. 6 months backward makes it today. Oh, really? Oh, really? Come on now. This is not even scientific, right? Thank you, Miss Anderson. I was hoping somebody would say something. Well, I needed you to say it loud for me because that's the number I have. I've had that number all along. In Christianity, they always said he wasn't 30 years old. He didn't die in his birthday. In Christianity now, they said he was 33 and a half. Well, then when is his birthday? You see, it's 9 months forward to get from Nisan 14 to December, i.e. Kislev. But it's exactly 6 months from Nisan 14, six Jewish months from Nisan 14 until the 15th of Sukkot, of Tishri. And from the 15th of Tishri to Passover is another 6 months. Go backwards, go forward, and you get to the same place. Duh. Is it that more complicated? You know, I've done all kinds of studies. And I come in here and show you this and tell that. I've already done that. You can go read what I've written all these years. Today, I didn't want to bring any of that. I wanted Siri to help me. She's so smart. She aggravates my wife. Siri, Marilyn doesn't like you.
Sorry, I don't understand.
Marilyn doesn't like you. She just said, I don't understand. Everybody should like me. So, if you go forward 6 months, not six Gentile months, but six Jewish months, or you go backward 6 months, not Gentile months, but Jewish months, 6 months are 3 times 59. And you count the days from the 14th of Nisan going forward and going backward, you arrive at really the time of Sukkot. When Luke starts his narrative, Luke, he's the one that said, I've researched everything. He's the one that said, I put it all orderly for you. Luke is the one that said, in parentheses, I'm not a dumbbell. I've got education, I'm a doctor and all those things. So I'm writing to you, most excellent Theophilus, the high priest. He's writing to the high priest, the supreme being, the supreme commander of Israel. Not Ayatollah, okay? That's of the other place. I'm writing to you. I'm putting these things in order so that you may understand and rejoice with the rest of us of the things that we've been teaching you so that you have a solid foundation. That's Luke. And Luke writes in Luke 3 that when Yeshua was about 30 years old. Well, 30 years old, plus or minus one, or plus or minus two. I mean, we can get ridiculous, plus or minus 6 months. I want to know, what are the people doing in the Jordan? How close is the Jordan to Jerusalem? I'm just going to ask some stupid questions. Like, it's going from here to the university pool. Is it like going from here to the beach in Florida, Stinghachi, or from here to Daytona? Actually, it turns out to be just about that. How long do you think you can walk that? Of course, no, you can take the bullet train. You know, or let Marilyn drive you and you'll be in a bullet car. I'm at least two. She doesn't say she doesn't, but she does. She always gets at me, but, you know, like mother, like daughter, they both like to drive fast. We, the husbands, we just kind of putter along. But I'm accused of not doing that. Okay? So how long is it going to take you? So let me get this straight. John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness, and somehow everybody got the message to come to the Jordan River. They just, you know, I felt it. So, what are people doing in the Jordan River? At what time of the year do people go to the river for a mikvah? The Jews, and they go during the month of Elul. Oh, what was John's message? Rejoice and be glad because your sugar daddy's going to bless you and everything. Wasn't that one, wasn't? What was the message? Repent. Okay. Does that go along with the month of Elul? Is that go on with the 10 days of awe? Repent, get ready. Do you do mikvahs at that time? Yes, people still do. And it's wonderful. We do it in Shavuot, but we could as well do it in this time, Sukkot. And many do. Your congregation, I think, did mikvahs in Sukkot in Melbourne back in the day. So, think for a moment. Why would there be, let me put it another way. Do we need to, at Christmas time, preach, deny yourself? Get on your knees and, Do we need to preach when is it going to be convenient to preach that? I mean, you go ahead and tell the Jews, you find some Jewish people, there's some here, okay? Well, we're going to deny ourselves. Yeah? When? Because that doesn't sound like no fun. I don't want to do no denial thing. So, what happens if he actually commanded us to deny ourselves? Doesn't that sound like Yom Kippur to you? Huh? And the 10 days of preparation for that is where people repent. Huh? I mean, forget Elul. Just look at what the scripture says. Isn't the 10 days prior to, beginning with the day of the blowing of the shofar, saying, get back to me, get back to me, get back to me? Isn't that the time that Israel would go to the mikvah? Well, let's have it in December. When it's like, we are all complaining around here. I got a congregation, I got to 48 last night. John was complaining. I was happy. It's about time that we get rid of this that's been here. So I didn't expect no 48. Guess what? Lovely. Lovely time. 48 degrees. Yeah, I was happy. So when is the message going to be acceptable? When are people have a heart to go to the frozen river? Not in December. Are you going to go there when it's totally hot? Well, yes, but you got to get there, and it's totally hot in Israel. It's like really crazy hot in June, July. I mean, like really hot. Okay? So in the fall of the year, when it's time for the regathering, wouldn't that make sense that that's the time of regathering of the people as well? You know that Yah actually has some brains to him? I mean, he actually knows what he's talking about. As a pastor, I could not write a better plan. Because I don't have to try to tell you, okay, next week we're going to have a tent revival. So that you can come and get, you know, and try to plan that and try to find the right one. Because I would find one, and I for sure, half of you would say, what did you pick that one for? So let's have a revival when he said. He scheduled the dadgum thing. When did he schedule repentance? Before Yom Kippur. So, what kind of outside is it in Israel? What is not that different than Gainesville? Like, what's August like? June, July, August. Is that when you really want to go outside? Steve? When do you get the feel that maybe it's, you know, it's in September. You get like the latter part of September, you get a feeling like this is over. It's time to be outside again. Isn't like God's like logical? Oh, no, he has fuzzy logic. No, he's logical. And he scheduled that. So, John is baptizing when? During Elul and the 10 days of awe. Why is the message? The same one God said. Repent. You need repentance. Repent. That's the message. Do people want to repent in April? Not with the eggs and all that that's going on. And the pig roast. And they want to repent in December. Heck no. Joy to the world. The Lord's come. It was 3 months late, but that's okay. Joy to the world. The Lord's come. So the guys are outside with sheep, and they're feeding them iams. Yeah, Marilyn has a box of iams, so in the car. It's probably for Ame, see if she even wants it. Because our cat flew the coop. We are lonely people. You know, there's a song. What a bunch of lonely people. No, I don't want your dogs, and I don't want your cats. I mean, the Lord took the cat. Hallelujah. No. So, Yeshua is out there when? Latter part of Elul? For sure, the 10 days of preparation for Yom Kippur. And Luke said, he's about 30. That means that his birthday is about then. When is that? Elul in 10 days of awe? When is that? Oh, it's in December for sure. Just figure it out. It's in there. You can make it work. And then the last thing I have to say. There was an event called the Transfiguration. It didn't happen in December. And it didn't happen during a high holy day, because if it had been a high holy day, it had been in Judah. It would have been near Jerusalem. But they were not. They were in the north. So it's in between high holy days. Okay. You can do some more looking to see where it is. The Mount of Transfiguration, they will take you in the tours when you go to Israel. They take you to the Mount of Beatitudes. They'll take you to that one too. Of course, you can ask yourself, how is Yeshua's voice going to be heard by 7,000? But that's a stupid question. He's God. So he spoke and the Holy Spirit went and inhabited us. And we were there, we'd have gone, be like, I'm hard of hearing. So be like, so how would they hear that? You know that there's a mountain in Hebrew called the Horns of Hattin, I think it's called. Okay, that you can see, the same thing happens in Chimney Rock that is no more. And there's something in a place called Blowing Rock in North Carolina where you throw the paper and it comes back at you. And you throw the paper ball and it comes back at you. You throw the paper plane and it comes back at you. Well, there's a place in Israel where you can sit in one, it's called the Horns of Hattin because it's two. And you can sit in one and speak, and the people hear perfectly on the other side. They didn't need you, John. They didn't need you to hook up the PA system and a Bluetooth and whatever. He just sat there and spoke, and everybody heard. Imagine that. Imagine. Just imagine that. Just imagine that. Okay? And there... Where was the Beatitudes given? I mean, I guess so he said it to his disciples and everybody kind of spread it to everybody else. I mean, Moses must have had some kind of a voice when he preached in Deuteronomy 30 and 31. And then sang in 32. Must have had some kind of a voice. I mean, I wonder about those things, how those people hear it. As it is, with all the PAs and whatever it is, with my screaming and everything else, the word of God is coming out. And some of you are trying to go, poof. This is like shooting, you know, the thing to shoot. Yes, I'm preaching. At the Transfiguration, Peter wanted to celebrate Passover. At the Transfiguration, Peter wanted to celebrate Christmas. At the Transfiguration, Peter wanted to celebrate Shavuot. At the Transfiguration, Peter wanted to celebrate Yom Teruah. At the Transfiguration, Peter wanted to celebrate Yom Kippur. So what did Peter want to celebrate? Oh, Sukkot. I wonder why. What do you mean? What do you want to do, Sukkot? What does that have to do with Yeshua and two witnesses? Which two witnesses? Oh, let's see. Enoch and Bud and Elijah and Moses. Wait a minute. How did they know that it was Elijah? They went to their file and looked for Elijah and said, oh, that kind of looks like him. I've seen his picture before. How about Moses? Moshe Rabbeinu. The thing about it is the Bible doesn't tell us how they knew. They knew, and Yeshua did not say, no, you're wrong. And Yeshua didn't say anything. He's in there talking with Moses and Elijah. You know, why would Moses want to talk to Yeshua? It might be something like, after my leaving, the Lord will raise up a prophet unto you, him you shall listen to. And why Elijah? Because Elijah is the one that said to God, you're the real thing. He's saying, you are the holy one, highly exalted one, and we surrender to your sovereign reign. Started the prayer. God, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God. Elijah, the one with passions, the Bible said. He must have been Hispanic. Elijah, the passionate one, okay? So they're having a discussion with Yeshua, and Peter gets this great idea. Like, we want to build a sukkah for you, and a sukkah for Elijah, and a sukkah for Moses. To which Yeshua said, Peter, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Didn't say anything. Implicitly given approval. Why? Because it's futuristic. Why? Because when Yeshua comes back, the two witnesses, you can say whatever you want to, but how about Moses as a witness and Elijah as a witness? Would that be like the Jewish Moshe Rabbeinu, their teacher, and Elijah, the Paul Wilbur followers? I mean, that would be awesome. So Yeshua says nothing. Peter sets out to build the sukkah, and then it's gone. Great idea that never happened. So the next thing that happens is the disciples want to ask him, is the Elijah there, the Elijah we've been waiting for before you? Look at how smart the people are. Before the Messiah comes, Elijah has to come. Well, the Messiah is already here, so it basically are asking, Elijah just happened to show up? So that he shows up to give you the stamp of approval. Because in the Bible it says that Elijah will come. Read Malachi, etc. To which Yeshua said, boys and girls, Elijah did come. Elijah did come. And they did not receive him. And they did with him what they wanted to. And the scripture puts a parenthesis and said he was talking about John the Baptist. Then it goes on and says, among the sons of women, the greatest prophet is John the Baptist. Why? Because his prophecy came to be true. He brings in the Son of God. Elijah brings in the Son of God. The Elijah generation will be on the earth to bring in the Son of God. The Elijah generation is here, and we are a unit of that generation. We have been for years and years. So, you know, this is my extra 15 minutes, right? At the Transfiguration, people want to build a Sukkot for Moses and Elijah. Coincidence? No, it wasn't coincidence. Because unto us this day, a Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, is born. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace and goodwill to men. Because what? Because our Messiah, Yeshua, is on the earth. Chag Sukkot Sameach. Zman Simchatenu. Amen. Stand. Ladies, go prepare. I'll keep them entertained.